36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then would you say it with me? This is his response. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That promise was for the apostles. It was for their children. And thank God it's for all of us 2,000 years later who were afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That promise still rings as much power and promise to us today as it did to them then. Thankful for the promise God has made to us. And I want to preach to you today a sermon in 7 words. I'm going to take a little longer to do it. But I want to preach to you about a sermon in 7 words. Let's ask the Lord. In fact, if you brought your Bible, would you just lift it as high as you can? Let's exalt the Word of God in this place, and let's ask the Lord to speak to us from His Word. Lord Jesus, we love You. With all we have and all we are, we love You. There's nobody like You, Lord. Thank You for coming to minister to us in this service. Thank You, God. We want to build a throne of praise in this house, and we want You to be right at home in Your house. God, I pray, speak to us today. Let us hear Your voice. Minister, speak what You have laid on my heart through me to the saints of God and everybody who's here this morning. Let us hear what You have to say today, I pray, and help us to apply and obey it and allow it to change our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. On Wednesday of last week, I was riding my bike home for lunch when I got a call from dispatch. A young lady, only 31 years old, she had just finished her dissertation, just earned her doctorate, was just hired to start her new career as Mount Vernon City School's brand new school psychologist, just bought her first house with her husband, and 2 months away from giving birth to her first child. They had the world at their feet, and then came Wednesday. Early Wednesday morning, somewhere, they're not quite sure when, but at some point early Wednesday, she fell at home. On the way down, while she was falling, she hit her head, and she died. 31 years old. Family was broken up, and dispatch called to say they need a chaplain. So I pedaled home, I changed clothes, I got in my car, drove over to the house. I got there, Dad was standing outside. And I asked him if he was Mr. Denzer, and he said yes. And I said, I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, I'm sorry. It's all I could say. He invited me in. I met his wife, and Mom, Dad, and I sat together in the guest room. We held hands, and we prayed together for several minutes. Those are the moments you find out if your faith is real. Not faith that God will always do what we ask Him to, but faith that God will always be there when we need Him to. God's presence filled that little guest room where we were praying, right next door to the room where she was lying. And after many minutes of praying and talking and praying and listening and praying and talking and praying and crying, the funeral home arrived, and they wheeled her out on a gurney and allowed the family as much time as they needed to be able to be with her before they transported her to the funeral home. It felt very much like the story in Mark chapter 5. Everybody else went outside of the house except for a handful of us. We stood inside the house at the gurney and we prayed some more. Now, Mom believed, and so did I, that God was well able to breathe life back into her. And I was impressed with our law enforcement. They were so respectful, so considerate of the family, gave them as much time as they needed to be able to say goodbye. But as the funeral home was wheeling the gurney out the front door, Mom looked at me and said, you know what? When they told me they were sending a chaplain, I told them, I don't want a chaplain. And then they told me you were apostolic. And I said, that's the only kind I want. I had no idea about her faith, didn't know what she believed, didn't know if she believed. But we prayed a little more, believed God. We prayed with faith. We prayed with fervor. And I know God heard us because God's presence in that room was just as real there then as it is here now on this Sunday morning. And rather than give the gift of resurrection, God gave the gift of peace. And as mom was following her daughter on the gurney out the front door, one of the law enforcement officers looked to me, and he preached a sermon in 7 words that I will not forget. He said, "I guess it pays to be apostolic." In 7 words, he beautifully summed up my richly blessed life of 39 years. I am richly blessed, not because of how many square foot I have in my house or how many cars I can park there or how many degrees I've earned or how much money I've earned. I am richly blessed because earlier than later in my life, I heard this beautiful gospel message. I responded to it. I obeyed it. And I was born again, just like the apostles were and preached in the Bible. I'm richly blessed today to be apostolic. I'm richly blessed to have this born-again, spirit-filled experience, just like the apostles had and just like the apostles preached. We are the apostolic church in the 21st century, and we're still preaching the same message that the apostolic church in the first century was preaching. And we're still forgiven of our sins like the apostles were. And we're still baptized in water in Jesus' name like the apostles were. And we're still filled with the same Spirit of Almighty God just like the apostles were. And today we're still brimming with the same hope that there is a better life beyond this life just like the apostles had. Today we are blessed to be apostolic. Several in our city can't pronounce it. Somebody the other day said, "You're from the Apostolic Church." No, I'm not. They don't know what it means. And so it's our privilege to get to tell them what it means. It means we believe and we preach the same message that the apostles believed and preached in the Bible all throughout the book of Acts. When the world looked to them to ask them what they could do to right their wrongs after they had just committed the most heinous crime since the beginning of the world, one of those early apostles, he began preaching to them about what they had done. He leveled those charges against them like a prosecuting attorney. Almighty God came to you and you found false witnesses to lie against him. You mocked him. You spit on him. You beat him on the head. You shoved a crown of thorns down on his bloodied brow. You whipped him to within an inch of his life and you crucified him between two criminals like a criminal. His blood was on their hands. And Peter reached the capstone of his message and he said, "Now God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified to be Lord in Christ." He let them know, "You crucified the Lord of glory." They hung their heads. They knew they had crossed the line. There was no way God could or ever would forgive them for crucifying him. Even if they paraded every good deed before him, they would fall like a house of cards in a hurricane. But at one last grasp at mercy, if perchance God could or would forgive them for their sin, they lifted their voice as they lowered their heads and they said, "Tell us, what shall we do? If there's anything God will allow us to do, you tell us what it is and we will do it. We want to be right with God." And on that day, this apostolic church was born. Because on that day, this apostolic message was heard for the first time as Peter said, "You can still be right with God. You have not done too much. You did not go too far. You didn't cross the line too far, even though you crucified him. He still loves you enough. He still wants to forgive you. And all you've got to do is repent." Saints of God, all of our guests, anybody listening online, if God would forgive those who crucified him, he will forgive us. It doesn't matter how horrible your sin. It doesn't matter what you've done for how long or how many times you said you would never do it again and you did it again. This beautiful apostolic message packs as much promise for us as it did then, and it packs within it God's gift of repentance from sin. It gives us all the opportunity to be right with God when we repent. You need to stop letting the enemy of your soul lie to you and tell you you went too far, you did too much, God won't forgive you, God doesn't love you anymore. The enemy of your soul will tell you he can't. But if you will allow conviction you feel to draw you to repentance and allow that to draw you to God, you'll find that God can and God will forgive you of your sin if you will just repent. It pays to be apostolic. It pays to know I can lay all my guilt and shame down at an altar and I can walk away free and without the burden of that guilt and shame anymore because Jesus already took my sin upon himself. Repentance is not just telling God, "I'm sorry I got caught." Repentance is telling God, I'm sorry I broke your heart. God is holy, holy. You may need to see that on writing to be able to understand that. He is W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, H-O-L-Y. He is completely, absolutely holy. Habakkuk says he's of more pure eyes than to behold evil. He is so holy he can't even look at sin. He's so holy. So when we get up from the altar of repentance, we get up with a desire. I want to do right. I want to please God. I want to bless God. I want to honor God with my life. I want to be right with God. None of us, no matter how long we've been in church, we can do it all by ourselves. Every one of us needs the power of Jesus to do right. And that power is part of this apostolic message package deal. All of us were born sinners. Some of you are adorable sinners, but all of us were born sinners. It doesn't matter. You may have cut your teeth chewing on church pews, and your first word was revival. You were born a sinner. Or maybe you are on a first-name basis with every deputy in the jail. All of us were born sinners. Every one of us, without exception, pulpit to pew. Every one of us need to be born again. Thanks be unto God. We don't have to live a sinner, stay a sinner, or die a sinner. By the grace of God and the power of repentance, we can be forgiven of our sins, and God will not hold those against us anymore. We can be born again. We may have been born a sinner, but we can be born again, born anew, born of heaven, born of the Spirit. God can and will give us a fresh start, a better future than we ever had in the past. That's the gospel message that Jesus still forgives. Once we've repented of our sins, we're ready to be baptized in water in Jesus' name. I remember the night I was baptized. I was 9 years old. It was September 11th, 1988. The church in St. Louisville had a metal horse trough down in the basement. They say heat rises. All the heat rose in the sanctuary. There wasn't one degree of heat in that baptismal tank. Baptismal heaters were not even a twinkle in the inventor's eye at that point. And I think back in that day, I think the colder the water, the bigger the baptism badge they gave you of honor. Best baptism stories are always those that started off, well, after we chipped through the ice. So that night, my sister and I were going to be baptized. And even though I am not a little afraid of water, and you know that, I wanted to be baptized because I wanted my sins washed away. Even as a 9-year-old, I realized I can do nothing to take care of my sin except give them to Jesus and ask Him to take care of them. So that night, my pastor baptized me in water in Jesus' name. I didn't understand everything that happened as a 9-year-old in that spiritual experience, but by the grace of God, I got every blessing that happened in that spiritual experience. My sins were washed away. Jesus stamped His holy name on my unholy life, and Jesus helps me to live holy, and He paid the penalty for my sin that I should have paid. We bury our sinful habits in the water of baptism, and when we rise out of those waters, we rise a new creation. Well, I know we haven't done this very often. We typically, somebody baptized on that side, they come down this side, and they go back up that side. But I want to do something different. If they come in from this side and go in here, I want them to go out that side. Because there's not going to be any more forgiven. But it will be a constant conscious reminder. When I get out of the waters of baptism, I'm a different person. I walk a different way. The same as I was when I went in the water. It's not just a ceremony or a ritual. It's not just an outward sign of an inward work. No, I did not just get wet. I got forgiven. Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. When I was baptized, He put His name on my life. If you've not yet been baptized in water in Jesus' name to have your sins paid for, in the moment I'm going to open up the altar, and when I do, you're going to have the opportunity to have Jesus take care of all of your sins and to pay the penalty for the sin you should have paid. He's going to take it upon Himself. This apostolic message packs power because it tells us we can be forgiven and our sins can be washed away. But this message doesn't end at baptism, at least not in the water. We have the privilege to be baptized in His Spirit. Remember how all of us were born sinners? According to the Apostle Paul, God's Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of adoption. If we were born sinners, His Spirit adopts us into His family. That's how we're born into His family. It's not about church membership. It's about being born again. You don't have to be under this roof to be right with God. I believe, and I've preached it, I've prophesied it, and I believe it. Revival is coming to Mount Vernon. It will be so deep and so wide that He's going to pour out His Spirit upon churches all across our county. And they're going to look to us Pentecostals to ask, how do we operate in these gifts of the Spirit? We've never had this happen before in the middle of our service where the Spirit would fall like that. When that day dawns and they look to us to ask us how they need to operate in the Spirit, we need to be ready to make disciples. Not of us, but of Him. This apostolic message, it is not not our message only, but it is our only message. This message belongs to the world. It belongs to anybody. I hear Jesus say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We don't have a monopoly on it. It's not a corner on the market, but thanks be unto God, we have this message. We have this Holy Ghost experience. We can be Spirit-filled. If you're glad to be Spirit-filled, why don't you just raise your hand right now and give thanks to God.
Oh, I praise you, Lord. I praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
As long as we're baptized in water in Jesus' name, we're water baptized once. And for me, who's so scared of water, thank God that's the way He planned it. But if you want to, you can be Spirit baptized every day. As He pours out the dew upon the grass in the morning, He can pour out His Spirit and renew and refresh and refill you every single day of your life. He'll do it every day. When you're Spirit baptized for the first time, you'll know it. You'll know that you know that you know that you know, because you'll have the same experience and the same evidence the apostles had when they were Spirit baptized for the first time. Look throughout the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 10, chapter 19, even chapter 8, and you'll find out that they either explicitly said that they spoke in other tongues, or there was an evidence that was missing that we know from the other accounts that they did speak in another tongue as God gave them the ability to speak. When they were filled with the Spirit, immediately they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the ability to speak. When you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to pray and you're going to praise God in another language. You know, there are a lot of reasons for that, why that is. But here's one of my theories. Because there are words in my language that I know to put together. If you gave me a thesaurus and a dictionary, I couldn't put it together how awesome and wonderful and worthy God is. So maybe that's one of the reasons God gives us to be able to say, let me help you out a little bit. And we magnify and pray and praise God in another language just like they did in the New Testament. It's not something you can learn. It's not something you can work your way into or work your way up. It's something God has to do. And all He needs you to do is surrender and say, here I am, God. I'm empty, but I'm asking you to fill me. And as you worship God, He's going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And for all those who have been Spirit baptized, you can testify there's no greater feeling or infilling in all the world than being filled with the gift of God's Holy Spirit. When people come to Apostolic Church, we're not just offering them self-help with a side order of self-esteem boost. We're offering them an opportunity to be forgiven of their sins and to be filled with God's Holy Spirit and give them power to live above sin's magnetic pull. And then as the months march on, you're going to start to look at your life and you're going to see the buds of fruit that come from being Spirit-filled. Fruit like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And you're going to say, whoa, where'd that come from? And you're going to remember back to a day when you lifted your hands and surrendered your life and God filled you with the gift of the Holy Spirit and God begins to put those fruit out of your life by the power of His Spirit. And you're going to realize the things you used to love that would push you away from God, you don't love those things anymore. And the things you used to hate that would have drawn you closer to God, you don't hate those things anymore. You don't feel bad when Saturday night rolls into Sunday morning and you're like, I should go to church, but I'm not going to go. But you're going to have the same testimony as the psalmist in the 122nd Psalm when he said, I was glad. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sunday won't be able to speed here fast enough, and you won't be able to speed here legally fast enough to be able to get to the house of God. Soon you're going to listen and you're going to realize you're not saying the same things you used to say. You're not singing the same songs you used to sing because He's given you a brand new song. It's a song of the redeemed. It's a song not even the angels can sing because they've not been redeemed, but you have. It's the sweet song of salvation. You may not be what you want to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. And people who knew you and now know you are going to ask, what happened to you? And you can say with all the gratitude and 1,000 thanksgivings, I've been born again. I've not just been to church. I've been with Jesus. I've been saved. I've been born again. And His Spirit will be that self-same Spirit that quickens us when Jesus comes back. His Spirit within us is either going to lift us out of the grave or is going to lift us off of the ground whenever Jesus comes back. The question should never be, do I have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? Short answer, yes, Romans 8, 9, and 11. But the question should always be, do I get to be filled with the Holy Spirit and get to go to heaven? Short answer, yes, and thank God for it. But God's Spirit is not just a one-way ticket to heaven when this life is over. His Spirit is also our comforter to get us through this life on those days we feel like this life is over. His Spirit gives peace on a day like last Wednesday, when it all comes apart for a family who had it all together. In those times, our world needs somebody with Jesus' name on them and His Spirit within them to pray for God's power and His peace. We're sitting in that guest room last Wednesday, and I could feel God's Spirit springing up within me as we started to pray. And I didn't want to scare them. I didn't want to weird them out. I didn't know what they believed. I didn't know if they believed. And so I didn't want to begin praying in another language, praying in tongues, lest I scare them. But as I was praying, I listened as the mom on my left, she began praying in tongues. And I thought, well, if she's not scared of weirding me out, then I'm not going to be scared of weirding her out. So I started praying in tongues. I remembered the scripture in the New Testament where the writer says, Paul said, there are going to be times when you don't know what to pray for like you ought to. You're going to need to pray, but you don't know what you need to pray for. In those times, that Spirit within you is going to pray through you for others because He knows what you need to pray for even when you don't. And in those moments when I began to pray and she was praying in tongues, we could feel the power of God, the presence of God, the peace of God that filled that room. The Spirit of God is not just here to get us to heaven at the end of our life. God's Spirit is here to help us get through life as we make our way to heaven. And His Holy Spirit will remind us of what we have read in His holy word and remind us the same miracles He worked in their day, He still works in ours. I know many believe that the miracles have ceased at the death of the apostles. My friends, we have hope not only in this life, but we have hope indeed in this life that we can call on the name of the Lord Jesus and He hears us. And if He has to, He will move heaven and earth to help us. The days of the miracles and wonders God has promised, they're not done. We're still living in the glorious glow of that glorious day. And so if you need healing, if you are one of those who came to the altar today and you need healing, we're not just going through ritual or ceremony. We're believing the Almighty God is still able and willing to heal us of all of our diseases. If you need deliverance from addiction, you're in the right place because we serve a God who breaks every chain. If you need a financial miracle to make it to the end of the month because you're well past money, you're in the right place because God still provides and He still works miracles in our day. If He's ever worked a miracle for you in any measure, anything, you know it had to be God. It couldn't be anybody else or anything else, but you know it was the Lord who touched you, provided for you, healed you. If He's ever worked a miracle, would you just wave your hand as a testimony? Let this be a testimony of what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to God. He still cares for us. He's still able to help us. He still hears us. He still helps us. Hallelujah! He still heals us. He still provides for us. He still meets our need. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. When I was in college, they used to tell us, don't present salvation as a three-step checklist. Because what will happen is people will say, okay, repented, check. Baptized in Jesus' name, check. Filled with the Spirit, check. Let's go to wits. But discipleship is not a three-point checklist where we check out once we check the boxes. Discipleship calls us to a life of holiness that pleases God. God did not call us to fit in, be popular, be liked. He called us to be holy. He called us to be like Him, even if that means we have to be less like the world. And holiness is not a chore. Holiness is an honor. I want to say that for our students, so I know you believe it, but let me just say it to you. Holiness is not a chore. Holiness is an honor. I know you're going to stand out. I know you're not going to fit in everywhere you want to, but let me tell you, holiness is an honor. It's an honor to be more like Him, look like Him, be like Him, talk like Him, act like Him. It's an honor to get to be closer to Jesus, even if that means being farther from the world. Holiness in the sight of God is still beautiful. But we should never wear holiness as a better than you badge. We should ever be grateful that God has called us to be separate from the world and holy unto Him. We're no better than anybody else. We just want to be like Him. And sometimes that means we have to be less like the world, but I just want to be like Him. I gauge where I am by how close I am to Him, not how far I am from them or how close I am, but by how close I am to Him. That's how we gauge holiness. I want to be like Him, for He is holy. We should ever be grateful He has called us to be holy, separate from the world. It's still beautiful in the sight of God. Holiness is far deeper than just what we wear and what we watch. It's a desire to be more like God. And I've had people ask me before, come on, man, is holiness really that big a deal? We are headed for a holy heaven, filled with holy people who obey the Holy Bible, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we'll surround our holy God and cry, holy, holy, holy. So I would tell you, yes, holiness, purity, morality, modesty, even in this day, it's that big a deal, and it still pleases God. And one of these days when we stand before God, we will either stand before Him stained in our own sin, or we stand before Him wrapped in His holiness. I want to be holy, for He is holy. If I could go back to that Wednesday, I didn't say anything to him. I was stunned when he said it to me. I could go back to that Wednesday and I'd tell that law enforcement officer, you're absolutely right. It pays to be apostolic. Even in 3,500 words, I could not have said it any better than he did in 7. I guess it pays to be apostolic. Would you stand with me? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your grace in this beautiful gospel message. I don't deserve to hear it, but I'm so thankful I have. I didn't earn anything. I didn't do anything to earn the forgiveness of Almighty God, but I'm so glad it was there. A couple weeks ago, I heard a story from a pastor. He was testifying what God is doing in his metro city. He pastors. He's a brand new pastor in a metropolitan area. He evangelized for several years until he was elected to serve that group of people there in that city. God gave him favor. He connected with a group of 5 other pastors in this city. Together, as a group of 6 pastors, they were responsible for 25,350 people in their churches. He said he's responsible for 350. They're responsible for 25,000. They're mega church pastors. Each church has somewhere several thousand, maybe 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, however many they have in their churches. And while they were meeting together, one of them told the group that they had a prayer meeting on a Wednesday. 500 people showed up in the middle of a Wednesday. And in that prayer meeting, all of a sudden something happened that hadn't happened there before. Holy Spirit fell, and people all over that prayer meeting were beginning to travail and speak in tongues and pray and seek after God. And they didn't know really what to do. Because it had never happened before. But they didn't push against it. They just was talking to this pastor. They knew he was Spirit-filled, and they were asking him some of those questions. And then one of them turned to him, and this absolutely pricked my heart. Turned to Pastor Robert, the pastor of the smallest church in the group, 350 people versus 5,000 for probably an average of the others. And a megachurch pastor said, Robert, you have everything we want. Their church probably spent more on paper plates in a year than Pastor Robert's church could give to global missions in a year. Far more people, far more resources, far bigger staff. And yet those pastors realize what they want and what their people need is to hear this apostolic message and be filled with this apostolic experience. We are so blessed today, church, to have far more than we deserve. I don't ever want to take the message for granted. I don't ever want to take the experience for granted. Let's never take it for granted. And let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's do everything we can to remember and let this world know it really does pay to be apostolic. I'm glad to be apostolic. Right now, let's just lift our hands and entertain the presence of the Lord. God's Spirit is moving. There's a great depth right now of thanksgiving and gratitude all over this house. People thankful for what God has done. There's also an equal level of hunger for what God will do in our individual lives, in our families, in our church, in our city. There's a move of the Spirit right now. Let's just give thanks to God and entertain His presence. Lord, I love you. Oh, thank you for this glorious message. Thank you, God, for this glorious apostolic truth and message and experience. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I never want to take it for granted. I want to always allow it to change and transform my life and use me, Lord, to change and transform others. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up the altar in just a moment. When I do, I want all of us to come. We're going to go through that first step, and that's repentance. All of us together. We're going to take some time today to repent. and ask God to forgive us, whether things we knew we did or things we didn't even realize we had done that displeased God. We're going to take some time around the altar today to just say, God, I want to be right with you. I want to repent. But I've checked and the baptistry is warm and it's ready, and the name of Jesus is all powerful. I want you to close your eyes if you would. Bow your head just for a moment. If there's anybody in the building who has never yet been baptized in water in the name of Jesus, had the name of Jesus Christ called over you when you were baptized, if that's never happened for you and you've not had your sins taken care of and they've not been washed away, but you want that experience, would you please raise your hand? Nobody else looking. If that's you, that's never happened for you, but you want it, would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Okay, you can put your hands down. Keep your heads bowed if you would. As I was preaching about the power of the Holy Ghost, and you said, boy, LJ, I'd love to have that, but I've never had that experience before, but I sure do want it. You've never had the Spirit of God fill your heart where you knew because you spoke in tongues, just like the apostles did in the Bible that initial first time. But you want that Holy Ghost Spirit-filled experience in your life. Would you raise your hand? Never had that, but you want it. Never been filled with the Spirit, but you want it. That's beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, everybody, put your hands down. Open our eyes. Let's just worship the Lord. God's getting ready to do something powerful right here in this service. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of the living God, flow through here. Lord, move through here today, I pray, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you're going to do today, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. We're going to take all of us. Let's come around the altar today. If you can't make it to this altar because there's only limited space, why don't you make it to one of these front rows here and let's pray. Let's just take some time on our knees before God. Let's take some time to repent. Once we get sin out of our lives and we get that taken care of, God's going to be able to do something powerful. He's going to fill somebody with the Spirit. But first, you need to get the sin out of your heart so His Spirit can fill your heart. Let's all take some time around the altar and just spend some time with God in repentance. Oh Lord, I love you.
Your kindness,
hallelujah, God,
leads me to repentance.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Your goodness draws me to your side.
God, I thank you for what you're doing.
Your mercy,
thank you, God,
calls
what you're doing.
Me to.